The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. You're listening, as always, in partnership with bloggingtheboys.com, SB Nation, and Vox Media. I am the O, RJ Ochoa. He is the 7-5, two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy November to you, my friend.
We're in November. No, can you believe that? It's November 1st.
No, I can't.
This time just keeps just rapidly passing by. And always, you know, I have a propensity to talk about my age because I am the senior on this show. Man, those days seem like they just keep flying by. But nevertheless, it's a great day, the day after Halloween. And as we get into November, we get into the season of Thanksgiving. And the Thanksgiving season, we get into December, which means what's that mean in the National Football League? Teams need to finish. So here we are again, back-to-back, the 750 with my boy RJ.
That's right. You know, you mentioned it. This is the month of Thanksgiving. I enjoy Thanksgiving more than I do Halloween, and we spent, you know, a lot of our show on Halloween talking about candies we like. I'll ask you now, and I'll ask you once we get closer again, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food? I mean, because obviously there's a lot.
Gosh. But, well, considering this right after I ate all kinds of candy last night and caramel apples and everything, so let's just move on to food. You know what? I got to go with I'm a dark meat type of person.
Dark meat like truther. I appreciate it.
So I like the drumstick. I like anything. It just depends on how you prepare your turkey. But the sides, got to go with some yams. You got to go with the marshmallow, sweet potatoes. That's a must.
That's disgusting.
With the almond joy.
That's the almond joy of Thanksgiving foods.
That's you gross. Know, that's what the thing about it. You know, when you start eating Thanksgiving, you just start putting everything, piling everything on. So you just kind of mix it up, and this concoction of mashed potatoes, yams, and everything else that goes along with it, because it all comes together.
Right.
But I would probably rate the sweet potatoes with marshmallows, well, maybe a little sprinkle of cinnamon, mashed potatoes, and obviously turkey, and then stuffing. But it's all good.
Well, you know, that's not my cup of tea personally, but I'll say this. I don't know if this will be shocking to you. I don't think it will. I used to, when I was a kid, be just the pickiest eater. I mean, my hamburgers up until like I was like 14 were just plain and dry, just meat and buns. And so I was a really picky eater. So it wasn't until about maybe 5-6 years ago that I had stuffing for the first time. Changed my life, Tony. Changed my life. So that's my favorite Thanksgiving meal.
So your parents have been depriving you of that all your life. What a bunch of bad parents.
I will say it looked gross because it had like carrots and stuff. I didn't want anything to do with it. So, but it
let me tell you a funny story. So we were talking about your parents depriving you. My kids, I think they had their first fried egg about 6 years ago. My grandparents, they were here. Yes. So I think my wife and I, we kind of failed up until that point, parenthood. But my in-laws, I mean, they're great. They're great cooks, and you know, Lebanese food. I don't know if you're a big fan of Lebanese food, but
I
love
the
grape leeks and everything. But anyway, when they spend time when we're out of town, they're watching the kids, and so you know, my father-in-law gets up and starts making fried eggs, and he's asking my kids, "You guys are like a fried egg?" They're like, "What's that, Grandpa?" because you don't want a fried egg. So make a long story short, he puts it on top of some toast, and they're hooked. And they're like asking, well, you mean your kids have not ever had a fried egg? I said, no.
Wow.
Not that I can think of, but I understand that.
Hey, I mean, see, I'm a big egg sandwich guy, so I'm totally down with the fried egg. But, well, congrats to your kids for, you know, finally seeing the light. So it's officially game week. The Cowboys play the Tennessee Titans on Monday night, their appearance on Monday Night Football this season at AT&T Stadium. Jason Witten returning. We had mentioned this before. I find this fascinating. Monday will be November 5th when Jason Witten makes his return, and it will be the one-year anniversary of when Tony Romo first called the Dallas Cowboys game. That's insane.
How ironic is that?
It's insane. It's just the way the world works.
It really is, and it's just hard to imagine that Tony Romo's been. It's his second year out of the National Football League, and again, this is, you know, we don't talk enough about Jason Witten. I guess we do. But I'm sure it'll be the celebration, just like Romo when he came back and made his first call here. Without a doubt, you know, Jason Witten will get his respect, I'm sure. But again, as you look at the time and how it flies by, we never thought that it had been that long ago, you know, the anniversary of Tony Romo doing his first call. And then you have his, I guess, BFF doing the same thing.
Who do you think, because last year when Romo returned, they had a video for him that was a big thing, and Jason Witten was the person who narrated it. Who would be your favorite to be the narrator for the Jason Witten video? Obviously, it can't be Romo because he's not playing. I would say the only guy I could guess would be Sean Lee. That would be the only guy. Maybe one of the offensive linemen, but I would say Sean Lee.
Probably. I'm trying to think of the history where – you know, Jason would play 15 years, obviously with the same team. So I'm trying to think of who would be the next person that would be that close to him. Maybe Sean Lee, but you got to go back and look at his history of as a player. You know, that's a great question. It could be, you know, some guys that we don't ever talk about. But that's a tremendous question about who narrate.
I wonder if they let Dak do it. You know, because Dak had some moments with Witten, obviously, and to your point, I think you're kind of saying, well, who's sort of the mantle being passed to kind of thing. I think that's Dak, and Dak's the quarterback. He's the leader. I mean, all this stuff. I could see that Dak's a captain. You know, I mean, I think that's one possibility.
Well, it seems to me that they have this tremendous and had this tremendous marriage with Jason Witten. I mean, he's Mr. Cowboy. Everyone, when they think of Mr. Cowboy, they think of Bob Lilly. And then 1A would be Jason Witten. So if you look at who maybe would be a candidate for that, I wouldn't surprise me. Maybe the owner of the team, maybe, you know, Jerry Jones. It just seems to me they have this fond relationship, because if you don't have Romo, it just seemed, to me, it just doesn't seem right. And I know Dez is not going to come back and narrate it after some of the comments he made. That might be a possibility, but that would be probably have a better chance of winning the lottery than him actually narrating his Montez video as he comes back. But, you know, it just, to me, it wouldn't sound right if it wasn't Romo. I mean, Romo's not available, and maybe they were able to do something where he actually was able to, you know, would be able to narrate something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if that's ultimately who does it this weekend.
You know, it would be cool. I think it'll be interesting. I think that there's kind of a pressure to do it because they did it for Romo, so it'll be very, very fascinating. Before we get into the game, you and I are recording this on Thursday afternoon. Jason Garrett already had his daily press conference, and he bumped it back. So this is his first press conference of the week. He normally does one on Wednesdays, but because the Cowboys play on Monday, obviously, you know, he shifts things around. And he talked about the moves that they made, obviously, and how they think that it's going to make them a better football team and the coaching changes and whatnot. He also talked about Amari Cooper spending time with Sanjay Lal, the Cowboys receivers coach, over the bye. Said they worked together for 3 days. They were both in the Bay Area, which is the home of Thursday Night Football tonight. You know, you want to talk about something scary from Halloween, tonight's game is going to be gross. But he said that Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper FaceTimed over the bye week. And this is getting a lot of traction already on Twitter and stuff. What are your thoughts? I'm going to be honest about something. I probably don't use FaceTime enough. When you and I record this, we Skype, so that's a version of FaceTiming. But I hardly ever FaceTime somebody on my phone. I don't know if you do, maybe your kids, your wife, something like that. I never FaceTime call somebody from my phone. And so I guess, number one, your thoughts on FaceTime in general. And number two, is it cool or weird that Dak and Amari are FaceTiming? Is it, could anything, you know, could that be beneficial to any degree? Because people are,
I mean,
people
I like are laughing FaceTime. About it. I do it all the time. I don't do it when I'm driving. If I do it when I'm driving, my wife's like, you need to get the hell off the phone and not FaceTime while you're driving. And please do not do that along with texting and driving. But I, you know, I like the ability to be able to see someone. Depends on where you're at. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great vehicle. Depends on what you're doing. As far as him making a point in his press conference, I think it's probably it's evidence that they really want to make this relationship speed up as fast as possible with him trying to grasp the whole offense. And I think if you're on that personal type of relationship, because I think Dak is a very personable player. I mean, and you meet him out in public. I mean, he's just a tremendous person. I mean, he's great with the fans, great with, you know, charity and a lot of different things. So I think he's very genuinely receptive to really trying to get to know someone, especially when it's a person such as Amari Cooper, where they're bringing in here is a really just a premier part, hopefully in the future, of this offense. I think it's a great vehicle, whether you're trying to study with each other or just really trying to develop and maybe show things. I mean, I don't know, on a whiteboard or whatever, however a way that they may be able to, you know, to work that. And especially if you're not in the same zip code, you know, especially during the bye week, because you can't spend time together like you were able to. I mean, again, the compliance and everything with collective bargaining, I'm not really sure of that, but I think it's a great way to really just kind of adapt to each other and try to get as much time as far as the building this relationship, whether it's, you know, just mentally or as we get into physically during the practice. Because it's been, it'll be almost over 2 weeks when the Cowboys finally play again. And that's a long time.
And a longer time for Amari Cooper, because he was on a bye the week before with the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, I think people are going to have their fun with this. They're going to poke around and say, you know, why are you FaceTiming? You should be running routes.
We're just going to nitpick this all day long. And look, I mean, and that's the thing about it. And we talked about this yesterday on the 750, is that people don't really know the constraints that you have. It's not like you can spend 24/7 with each other. Mm-hmm. There's only a allotted amount of time you can spend together. I mean, they got 5 days off, and during those 5 days, you know, it's almost like college now with the compliance of spending time with players. But again, I think it's just having the rhetoric going back and forth, the verbiage, the assignments. I think for me, it's more of a mental aspect of it right now. It's not the physical aspect of it, because we know Amari Cooper, what he can do. Now it's just the connection between the quarterback and receiver and grasping a hold of the mental aspect of the playbook. And I think that kind of brings these two guys closer if they can just have a conversation back and forth, whether it's FaceTime, whether it's in person, it's all the same thing.
How much of it do you think is, you know, and I think this is important in all avenues of life, whatever it may be, if it's a quarterback and a wide receiver, if it's a, you know, contractor and a, you know, builder, if it's, you know, whatever. You got to know each other. You know, I'm not trying to say this is the coolest thing ever that they're FaceTiming, but even if they FaceTimed and they talked about their favorite Netflix shows or they talked about their favorite Halloween candies or whatever, I think it's important because we're very clearly reading the tea leaves here that Dak Prescott's going to be the quarterback of this team at least through next season. Amari Cooper is regarded as a potential cornerstone player, in Jason Garrett's exact words. He's only 24 years old to that point. I mean, they have to know each other. You know, I mean, they have to, you know, and I don't mean forget football, because obviously they have to know each other in a football sense, but they have to be friends. I mean, does that make sense? I mean, or am I totally wrong here? I mean, you've been
no,
there.
No, I think you got to develop. It's much better to be able to develop a personal relationship with one of your teammates. And you don't have to, you go to work, you guys are doing the same thing and the same livelihood. You're trying to accomplish the same thing. But I always felt like it was great to be able to, once you leave the building, to be able to establish more of just a job relationship, a work relationship. Go out and have a burger, a beer with one of your teammates. You know, build some chemistry other than playing the game of football, or, you know, your pharmaceutical or whatever your business may have been. It's kind of nice to get away from each other because, you know, to me, I think it's got to be a little bit more to the core of the personality. And I think that that's on the offensive side, especially if you look back at most of the really good teams, there's some continuity built between amongst the players. I know with the offensive line, when I was playing, we had a night where we all go out on Thursday night and we go out and have a cold beer, go to steakhouse, and just build that camaraderie away from what we did at work. And I think that leads to a lot more, because you can't coexist with everyone.
Right.
We all know. You can't like everyone, but you want to at least be around them and kind of just know them a little bit more than just playing football or whatever you may do. You want to get more inside their head and that, you know, real estate inside their head, as opposed to just let's go to work, let's have this chemistry. And I think it's really important, especially when a new guy comes in.
Sure.
And you're trying to develop that type of relationship, is to kind of really get some familiarity, get some more personable knowledge about them. Because I think if you have a guy like that, then you really, if you like each other, because you can't like all, everyone doesn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like each other even more, just as a coworker, and it goes beyond that, I think you establish more of a friendship.
Sure.
And not just a working relationship.
I think it should be noted that, look, I know people think a lot of things about Dak Prescott, but this is somebody who, literally from an education standpoint, I mean, he's, you know, his degrees are in leadership. They're in psychology. I mean, he understands human beings. I think that's a really powerful thing. He's talked about before wanting to go get his doctorate. So Dak is a guy who just understands how to relate to people, you know, and again, I mean, I'm looking at things separate from who he is as a football player, but if, you know, some guys might like FaceTime, you know, some guys might not like FaceTime. And Dak seems like the kind of guy who just knows how to get along with everybody. And I think that's important to your point about developing camaraderie, developing friendships, and building that chemistry, because that has to exist to some level.
Yeah, I think the connection is very important. Again, if you're trying to catch up and really trying to speed the whole process of the relationship, you know, in the National Football League as receiver to quarterback, and just kind of understand again the verbiage and everything else that goes along, and just talk about it. And it's like you and I, our relationship, we have yet, and people don't know this, you and I have not met in person,
right?
This is, and so we Skype and we see video, you know, just pull the curtain back, but I feel like I know you because there's a face. We're the connection that we have. And it's the same thing. Those guys work together every day, and now they're just trying to really just kind of give them a crash course of all the verbiage and everything else that goes along with trying to, again, speed the process up and make this more of efficient and make this an easier transition for them.
I've got no issue with it. I mean, I understand why the jokes will be made and the memes will be made, and you know, I think it's crazy though. Welcome to 2018, where you can fix
exactly. I mean, here I am. I wasn't born in the, you know, the technology boom, and you have to play catch up. But I think it's a much better place to be able to connect with people and not have to be around each other 8 or 9 hours and still be able to continue and really get to know each other because of the, I would say, the interpersonal, the fact that you can see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great, great technology vehicle to really just get to know someone.
Respect. Look at that. I mean, FaceTime. You've convinced me. I got to use FaceTime more in my everyday life. I don't know why I don't. You know, it's so much easier to plug in the headset and put the phone in the pocket while you walk around. You know what I mean? But, you know, whatever. But so the Cowboys have the Titans on Monday night. They're wearing different uniforms, Tony. I don't know if you knew this. The Cowboys are wearing their navy tops, which you've worn mm-hmm. before.
And the white pants.
The white pants. They debuted that uniform last year on the road against the Giants. Coincidentally, it was Dez Bryant's idea to pair that jersey with those pants. So kind of funny that they're wearing it in Amari Cooper's first game as a Cowboy. Just some interesting irony there. But
I like it.
I really like it too. What, do you wish you could have worn that look?
Yeah, I, you know, the white jersey is always at home. I mean, what's great, I always liked when we went on the road with those uniforms, the blue, you know, the blue, and then it was the silver pants. But I like the blue on white. I think that's a good – so I believe there's still – and I also like the throwback white helmets they used to wear.
Those
and
are great.
That was pretty cool. And I'm sure they'll go with the star helmet for the game. But I think it's a good combination. Look. Change is good. I always thought to be innovative, and that's why I love college football. I love college football because of this, how trendy and how vogue and what they try to do to make something stick out, creativity and everything. And not, it shouldn't be anything different with the National Football League. And I think you made the comment when the Lions played the Cowboys.
Oh, God,
all
gray. All
gray uniforms. You hated that, but I like that.
Gross.
I have no problem with that uniform selection. And look, you know, maybe throw something in there, and I'm sure that it's they're going to be trying to sell those blue jerseys all game long. That will be something that the merchandise genius of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, and especially if they win, and you know, everyone will be wanting to get their blue jerseys at the game.
It is weird though to see. You're right. I mean, the Navy at home is just kind of weird. You're so used to seeing the Cowboys at home rocking the home whites, but so. The Titans have new uniforms in general, new helmets and whatnot. So it's just kind of a weird-looking game. But the Titans bring with them Marcus Mariota, who the Cowboys have not faced yet in the NFL. They bring Derrick Henry, certainly a formidable running back who hasn't really done a whole hell of a lot this season for the Titans. They do bring Deion Lewis, and that's where I want to start, because I think Deion Lewis, you know, we talked about this, you know, back when we talked about the Lions game, I was nervous about Theo Riddick. I think he was part of my bold prediction that week. I thought Theo Riddick would have something like a 40-yard gain in the fourth quarter, something. I was wrong, thank God. But I think Deion Lewis is the guy that, you know, you got to be concerned about if you're the Dallas Cowboys, because he can certainly kill you in space.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I guess my key players in this matchup. You know, Derrick Henry is just a big running back, but if you look at, you know, what they've done this year offensively, they're exactly like the Cowboys. They really haven't got anything on, you know, going. They're 31st in total offense in the National Football League, but if you start doing the forensic part of it, and you know, you look at Deion Lewis and 277 yards rushing, but not only that, they use him really well as a guy, as you just mentioned, in space as a receiver. And you throw in Marcus Mariota, he hasn't been very impressive this year. He's thrown him just over 1,000 yards, but again, he's a dual threat quarterback, and the combination of him, the capability of him being able to run, and Deion Lewis. I think that's something you have to really, really, really keep in check, because you certainly don't want someone like that just to explode on Monday Night Football. But yeah, I mean, you know, the combination of Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, and Marcus Mariota, as far as being able to use his legs and run, I believe he has whereabouts 85 yards rushing. Creates problems for any team or any defense you're going to match up against, because as you look in the National Football League, you look at the Dallas, I mean, they, like every other defense in the National Football League, struggle with a dual threat quarterback, and Marcus Mariota can really hurt you if you just really get a little careless and don't think about what he can do with his legs.
You know, I think this has the potential to be, I hope I'm wrong, but this has the potential to be a really gross game. You know, we're going to get LSU-Bama on Saturday, and, you know, maybe that'll end up – the Tua whole element changes things a bit, but you think of LSU-Bama, you think of, like, 9-3. You know what I mean? And this has
– Not this year.
Right, no, I agree. but my point is that's what your brain goes to.
Exactly,
and,
I know.
And I think this has – not in an LSU-Bama way, but this has the potential to kind of be like that, because you have two quarterbacks that are kind of still trying to find their footing on the season. You have two run games that are sort of interesting but haven't really caught fire. You have two defenses that are kind of cute. Obviously, the Cowboys are a little bit cuter. And so, you know, this kind of feels like, you know, I think we could see like 8 consecutive punts, you know, back to back to back to back. You know, something I thought was interesting, Jim Wyatt, who covers the Titans, had a tweet on Thursday morning. It was a few stats, but he said the Cowboys are allowing opponents to score 17.6 points per game. It's pretty good. You know, we talk about the Dick LeBeau rule. If you allow your, you know, the opposing offense to score 17 points or less, you should win that game. The Cowboys are
great goal.
are basically averaging that. And they're second only to the Baltimore Ravens, who are allowing 17.1. So you're off by half a point. But the Titans' opponents are averaging 18.1 points per game. So basically, the Titans have run into some good defenses this year, and the Cowboys could be the best one. So I don't know that I can see anybody beyond Deion Lewis really having an impact. Marcus Mariota's had this thing with his hand all season where he's felt numb. And look, Tony, I don't know if this will shock you. I've never played quarterback in the NFL, but I have to imagine that if my hand was feeling numb, it would be a lot more difficult than if it wasn't.
Well, isn't that Ryan Tannehill has the same issue? I think it's the ulnar nerve, and I may not be accurately correct on Marcus Mariota, his injury, but yeah, when it's your hand is numb, because I, to this day, still have that issue with the ulnar nerve. I mean, it's something that's always going to be chronic with me. I can imagine someone being able to have to handle the football, especially in your throwing hand, with that problem. But you know what? I don't want everyone to fall asleep at their wide receiver. You know, Tajay Sharp is a very viable wide receiver. And you look at what he's done up to this point. I mean, he had a touchdown in which they won against Philadelphia. He's a big, he's a physical type of player. So you just cannot sleep on some of their playmakers. And as you just mentioned, I mean, they really haven't got anything going. Again, they're kind of the mirror of the Dallas Cowboys. But collectively, if you look at the play, I guess you look at Ezekiel Elliott and compare apples to apples, they win in that category. The biggest issue with that is how bad the offensive line for the Cowboys have really played to this point, have not played very well, so they haven't been able to get, you know, those things going. But again, Tajay Sharp, if you look at him and you watch him play and what he's done this year, he could be an opportunity for them to get things going. Again, as I just mentioned, you know, the dual threat of the quarterback creates problems for everyone. I just don't want everyone to just fall asleep on that particular player.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't mean to say that Deion's the only guy that can, you know, hurt you for the Titans. Obviously, Corey Davis is solid as well in certain, you know, regards.
But they're not these household names you like looking like, well, who's this guy? I mean, right. There's a lot of that that people would look at, and I've never heard of this guy. And unless you cover him, unless you've seen him play, they're not these big household names.
So I just, you know, and I look at this. This is, you know, you mentioned college football a while ago. Mike Vrabel, people have said so often that he would make such a better college coach. I don't know that I'm nervous about Mike Vrabel. I think it's worth mentioning that Jason Garrett is so far on the season undefeated against, you can't say rookie head coaches, but first-year head coaches with their teams. Pat Shurmur, obviously, it's his first year with the New York Giants, although he's been a head coach before. Jason Garrett beat him. Matt Patricia, we mentioned those Detroit Lions. Jason Garrett beat him. So he's 2-0 against teams that are coached by guys in their first year with them. So Mike Vrabel certainly fits that bill. And I mean, I don't mean to underestimate or look past the Titans, but I mean, tell me where it is on their team that you're supposed to look at and shudder. You know, I mean, there isn't a whole lot. Maybe people are looking at the Cowboys in the exact same way, but there's nothing on that team that I'm going to lose sleep over this week, if that makes sense.
Well, let me go over the rundown of the teams they play. They lose to the Dolphins 27-20, and that's in Miami. The Texans, they beat the Texans 20-17. Jacksonville 9-6. There's your 9-6 game in the bottom of the 10th inning, extra innings if you want to look at it that way. And in Philly, they beat Philly 26-23. The Bills 13-12. The Ravens, they lose 21-0. And they lose to the LA Chargers 20-19. Now look at those teams. Not a lot of those teams. You look at wins and losses, and that's not very impressive with all those, you know, the seven teams that they played at 3-4. I mean, the margin of, you know, the only the game you can really consider that they got blown out, or not blown out, just decisively got beat, was 21-0, yeah, the Ravens game. And if you want to look at that, and also if you want to look into division they're playing, it's really kind of a weak division. I mean, yeah, you have the Texans, which are, what, 5-2 now. Mm-hmm. And then below that, you know, you have Jacksonville. You have Indianapolis, but the Titans are in second place in that division. So it's not, if you want to look at it that way, like, well, you know, the margin of the, you know, losses are not that much, except the Ravens. But then you got to look at who they've played, mm-hmm, and you got to give them credibility or not. But again, and you hear this all the time, I mean, it's hard to win a game every week, and seems like in a National Football League, because of the parity.
Sure. And, you know, I think, you know, when, I don't think I think, I mean, when they beat the Eagles, everybody, I think, everybody was ready. Everybody was ready to jump off and believe. You know, everybody said, okay, now I'm ready to buy in on the Titans. This is how they're going to be, et cetera, blah, blah. And of course, because they're the Titans, they go and they lose to the Bills the very next week. That's just how the Titans roll. But so they are this, I don't even know that you can call them a Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean, they're just this lukewarm team that is sometimes warm. It's, you know, like sometimes, you know, like when you leave your coffee out and you take a sip and it's not cold, but it's lukewarm and you're like, I can finish this. I mean, it's at a temperature that I can finish it and it doesn't taste horrible. That's who the Tennessee Titans are.
Well, I like my coffee hot. I'm not an iced coffee guy, and I like to be a connoisseur. I'm not a connoisseur, but I just know I drink a hell of a lot of coffee. But you're right. It's you know, they're a team that you look at who they played and the players that they have on their team. They got some really good talented personnel, but you know the quarterback really hasn't played. And it kind of sounds similar to what we're – again, they're a lot like the Dallas Cowboys. Sure. I mean, they're 3-4.
The only difference, I think, with Marcus – because I agree with you. I mean, Marcus and Dak both falling short of expectations, however you want to verbalize it. But obviously, Dak's not the second overall pick. Dak didn't win a Heisman Trophy. And part of Marcus's issue so far in the NFL has been the ability to stay healthy. That has never been an issue for Dak.
Exactly. Right.
But I mean, so my point is, I guess if I'm a Titan, I think Titans fans should be more sour on Marcus than Cowboys fans are on Dak. Because if the Dak thing doesn't work out, you lost a fourth round pick, whatever. But if Marcus doesn't work out, dude, you had this insane chance, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, people like to give nicknames to games and stuff. You know, I think this is a, between the Cowboys and Titans, this is a show us you're not dead game. You know, the winner of this game is going to show us that they're not lifeless. Whoever loses this game, I think, is lifeless, because I think we're right that these teams are both kind of, you know, kind of just hanging on in the world of relevance. And if you lose this game, you're 3-5, whichever team loses. And you're 3-5, you've already had your bye week. There's a clear sort of leader in your division, as you mentioned, whether it's the Texans or the Redskins in the Cowboys case. And you're too far behind if you're the Cowboys. Obviously, you have the Eagles on Sunday. So this is a show us you've got life in your locker room game. And I think the Cowboys injected more life with Amari Cooper and the coaching changes, as we mentioned, that we talked about yesterday. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a little kid and your parents rearrange the furniture in the living room. You know, it's like, it just feels new. You know, it's exciting. Oh, wow, the couch is over here now. You know, this is my view now of the TV. You know, it's a really exciting thing, and that's what the Cowboys locker room feels like.
You know, I like to label this game as a showtime, because you get the Cowboys who had a bye week and they didn't have to play until Monday night. So, again, it's been a long time since they played. They've had a hell of a lot of time to prepare. So to me, it's showtime. And then you got the Titans. They're right there. They're 3-4. They got Mike Vrabel's the new coach. And they really, you know, they have some guys that can play. But really, they're, again, on offense, there really hasn't been this much chemistry. So we need to develop. You mentioned earlier, Marcus Mariota has been fighting this injury in his hand, and it's just kind of a weird deal. And now it's a showtime game where it's on Monday Night Football, national TV. As you mentioned earlier, Jason Witten's coming to do his first broadcast after he's retired in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a Showtime kind of a flavor game. And I always thought, you know, the teams that really kind of struggle, this is the kind of environment that kind of brings out the best in you, that brings out some of the things you've been missing on. And either you're going to respond or you're not going to respond. You know, you mentioned about the furniture. You may be going to either like it or not like it, or you want to move it back the other way. You know, my wife doesn't like the couch over there, the TV, you don't have the best angle. I mean, in this game, you want to have the best seat in the house to hopefully see some Showtime performance.
I mean, I agree with all of that. And I agree that it can bring out the best in you. I do think it can bring out the worst in you. You know, some teams rise to the occasion and some teams fold under pressure. You know, the whole shuffling thing, it can either be rearranging the furniture in the living room to a great way, or it's just shuffling chairs in the Titanic. You know, it's one of those two, and you don't want to be the Titanic team. By the way, did you see last week they announced that they're going to relaunch the Titanic? Did you see that?
No, so they're going to do...
They're literally rebuilding. I don't know all the details, so you know, if you're listening, you know, and you have some details, tweeted at us. But I don't know who they is. I don't know if it's like the Titanic company or whatever. But kind of ironic, by the way, that we're talking about the Titanic when it has the word Titan in it this week of all weeks. But anyway, they're rebuilding the Titanic, like in the same image of the original, and they're going to launch it on the same course that the original launched on its anniversary.
See, I haven't heard that. That's breaking news to me I'm a big Titanic. I love the movie and I love all the history of the Titanic and the fact that they can't, you know, they go down and they send that, whatever that submarine is, it goes down 20 miles down below. Excuse me. And just the whole theory about what happened. That's interesting that they would go through all that to build this replica of the Titanic and chart that course.
Yeah.
So how about the icebergs? They're going to have a big iceberg and run. Are they going to build a better technology where they don't sink it a second time?
I hope not. but yeah, would you go on this cruise? Because that's what, when it popped around, everybody was talking about, there's no way I would go on this thing. I will be honest. I went on a cruise, not this past summer, but the one before that, and I hated it. It was terrible. I just did not. So I, if we're ever going on a 750 road trip, we're not going on a cruise. I did not.
You know
like
what? I did. I was the same way. So my whole deal is that before that, I had like, I was really kind of negative and like, I'm not going to, I get claustrophobic and I won't like it. But I actually went on my first trip. I went on a Christmas cruise with my family. And
that could be different. I can acknowledge.
Yeah. And so we went and I had this different type of perspective of the cruise after we were on the ship, because I realized, first of all, if you like to drink, which sometimes I do, and if you like to eat, you like entertainment, and you like going on all these different excursions, different places, and you like it. So I kind of had a different attitude where I like going on a cruise because I thought that I would get claustrophobic and I would hate it.
Well,
and I don't have a problem going on a cruise now.
Well, don't go on.
I have a hard time gaining all the weight afterwards because that's all you do on there is eat. But other than that, it was a blast.
Don't go on I feel like that's just tempting fate to go on a ship built in the image of the Titanic, on the same course as the Titanic, on the anniversary of the Titanic. I mean, just let's not do that. You know, why do we need to do this? Whose idea was this?
So I assume this is going to be sold to the public where you can actually go on.
That's my understanding. Yeah, I said, I don't have
that's
all
pretty
the details.
Cool. I do like the notion of the whole experience of the Titanic. And again, just, we got to keep an eye on those icebergs.
Exactly. but yeah, very funny that, or not funny, but interesting that it has the word Titan in it. Kind of a cool little segue there. But so I think there is an iceberg in this game for one of these teams. And, you know, hopefully it's the Titans that hit it. I think that somebody is going to hit an iceberg. And I think that, you know, I mean, I people say short week. I don't know that. I mean, I've never been through it, but I don't know that playing on Monday Night Football is a short week the same way Thursday Night Football is. People try to equate it. I don't think it's the same thing. But this game, I mean, I don't see a reason why the Cowboys shouldn't win. I mean, the Titans are a lower team. They have a rookie head coach. They have a quarterback that is a question mark at the very best. their power runner, Derrick Henry, hasn't really gotten on this season. So they don't have an ability to put you away. Their defense is moderately interesting. But if you're the Cowboys, you have the premier defense in this game. I imagine Sean Lee will play. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. Jason Garrett didn't say anything about him not practicing on Thursday. So you've got Sean Lee back, conceivably played well in Washington, obviously. You've got Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, everybody coming off the bye. DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been fighting that shoulder thing, coming off the bye. I think the hot boys and everybody are going to be ready to roll. So I'm not at all worried about that. I think that this comes down to, in terms of every phase of this game, who the Cowboys can be on offense and whether the Amari Cooper addition will be enough.
Well, I agree with you. You should be probably in the best health at this point, juncture of this point in the season, because you've had a bye week and you've had a longer, your game's not till Monday. So I think everyone that needed to get treatment, to get healthy, to get re-energized should be, everybody should be feeling pretty good. When you get halfway into point in the season, you always thought it's kind of nice to have the bye week, maybe week 11 or later, because, that's kind of the point where kind of rigor mortis starts settling a little bit. Everyone's hurt. I mean, everyone's nicked up. I mean, that's just landscape of the National Football League. But defensively, when you look at the matchup, I like the Cowboys, what they have done to this point. And again, it's an offense that hasn't really got anything going with the Titans. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So you automatically think, well, yeah, you look at the matchups, that should fare well for the Cowboys. And again, the only thing about me is that if you look at anything, it's a quarterback that can run, because I really think that the Titans are going to come in here and do exactly what every dual threat quarterback that does, and really try to watch film and try to find, bits and pieces where you can get, create some plays. And that's trying to figure out how to get Marcus Mariota, get him more into rhythm and use that aspect of it. But on the offensive side of the ball, when you look at the Titans defense, their defensive line is pretty good.
They've got Malcolm Butler. That's kind of the sexy name they've got.
Yeah, Gerald Casey is a big defensive tackle inside. Sure. Is very athletic. If you look at the forensic, the players, Kevin Byard is a tremendous safety. Kind of reminds you of Earl Thomas. Kind of reminds you of those type of safeties that play center field. Is a tremendous tackler. Eats up a lot of screens. So there's some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. And, again, it's the matchups. It's their defense versus the Cowboys offense. The Cowboys defense versus the offense. Which offense is going to actually be able to generate some type of points, some type of big play yards? Because you just can't look at the names. I mean, right now, I think we agree right now with the Cowboys. It's not, you can't look at the resume of what they did last year, or even it's not on the resume.
Right.
It doesn't intimidate you. None of this right now, the offense doesn't intimidate. It's all about what they decide to do. Again, after 2 weeks, after a bye week, after all this stuff has gone on, the dynamic of Amari Cooper firing the offensive line. Let's see where it's at. And I think that they should have a lot of energy going into this game. And the most important thing, they're not going to say this, but Jason Garrett has got to figure out how. You look at the Cowboys, and we talked about this, and I know that I'm getting long with this, but you look at the next 9 games that they play, are the Cowboys going to be realistically going to be able to go 7-2?
No, I mean,
because that's what it's going to take to get them in the postseason play.
Well, and if you're going to go 7-2, I mean, if you can theoretically drop 2 games, this cannot be one of them. You're likely going to drop 2 other games, so you cannot drop this one. I agree with you. It's hard to predict because we haven't seen it. What this kind of feels like for me is, have you ever had Julio's chips, the brand Julio's? They sell that. Okay, so they're really good, and they have all these awesome seasonings. They're great with salts and stuff. And so one time we were making dinner and stuff. We were like, what are we going to make for dinner tonight? We had some leftover stuff. We'd made taco salad earlier in the week. And I said, you know what? Let's just bake the Julios with chips and with cheese and stuff. Let's make nachos out of them. But I didn't know if they would make good nachos because they have all the seasoning and stuff. They're not like normal just chips. And so we threw it on. And while it was in the oven, I was all excited. And I was like, man, this has potential. You know, it could be really great because I threw in all this stuff. And I pulled it out. And the first bite, I was kind of like, whoa, there's a lot of seasoning on here. I'm not super in love with this. But the more I ate it, the more I was like, you know what, RJ, you're a genius. This is fantastic. And this kind of feels like that. Like we're in the oven right now. We don't know exactly where it's going to be.
Well, we all know if you put the – no, this is – I don't know if that applies to me because I'm probably one of the worst person to follow in directions when it comes to cook. I will say this. We tried Blue Apron, which is one of these, you order the meals via the internet. Yeah, they deliver you all the ingredients. But for some reason, I just couldn't – it didn't taste like what my wife, when she made one of the meals. So maybe I was doing something a little different. Maybe it was just my – the way I was putting – maybe I didn't follow directions as well because I think men have the propensity maybe not to follow directions. That's what I say. You'll understand this one of these days. As you you get married and even a relationship, we all know men and women are different.
It's one of those things where it's like, this doesn't look like the picture. That's how you
taste it. But so when you look at the Cowboys in the offense, we see what the ingredients they have in the last seven games. They tried to mix, all the ingredients in there. We said how good it's tasted before, but for some reason, just like you talk about those nachos, sometimes you put the right spice on it and the cheese on it. By the way, I just rather just put this plain old Tostito chips just put the cheese because it's all about the cheese.
Yeah,
but anyway,
respect.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Cowboys with the ingredients. It's like, okay, well, now we add a little bit different ingredients. You got you a wide receiver and you got your maybe the message. And it's not going to change overnight.
Right.
But you're hoping the ingredients that they put together on Monday nights are going to taste pretty good. And the directions, they read the directions and everything. And when everything is the meal is served, hopefully the meal is served on a big offensive explosion platter.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. So I don't know what element of the nachos Amari Cooper is. Maybe he's the jalapenos because he's spicing things up. Some people don't like jalapenos on their nachos, but they're wrong. So on the subject of Amari Cooper, last week we talked about the over-unders that the guys in the desert had put out for him over the season. Quickly to revisit that, they set the over-under for receiving yards for Amari for these remaining nine games at 517.5. You and I both took the over on that. They set receptions at 40.5. We both took the over on that. And they set the touchdowns over under at 3. That's 3 touchdowns in 9 games. That's pretty low. But again, I mean, it's a new, shuffle, new quarterback. I mean, and the Cowboys haven't necessarily thrown a lot of touchdowns this season to begin with. But the over unders for Amari Cooper this Monday night against the Tennessee Titans are out. Tony, I want you to guess them before I tell you what they are. What do you think the over-under for Amari Cooper's yardage on Monday night is?
I'm going to go 85.
So that's what you think they listed it as, right?
I'm going to list it at 85. And, if I was going to set the over and under, Tony's over and under would be 85.
Wow. Well, you would, these guys are giving bettors a far greater shake at this than you are. The over-under for Amari Cooper's yardage on Monday night, 50.5.
Well, maybe that's my very over-optimistic.
I didn't
say I would take the over on that. I would take the under on the 85.
But would you take the over on the
50? I would take the over on the 50.
Okay, so you take the over on 50.5, and I've got some other things that I think are interesting here. What would you say the over-under is? They didn't have one for touchdowns, but for receptions. So receptions just in this game.
Well, they said he would have – the over was 50. Did you say 50.5?
50.5 for yardage.
Okay. So I'm going to do the math. I'm going to go 4 receptions.
See, that's why you're the man. It's exactly four. That's the over-under. Yeah. I don't have a treat or anything, but I know that you have some candy at your house.
I was going to do the averages, but I'm not really good at math. You, it would take me too long to do the averages.
After we finish the show, do me a favor. Go get a piece of candy in the TC house, and that's your treat for guessing this
question. Oh, God. Unfortunately, there's a lot around the TC house.
So the over-unders, 50.5 yards, 4 receptions. I think I would take the over on the receptions, but I might take the under on the yardage because I think Amari's going to catch something like 6 balls on Monday night. But I don't know if he'll break 50 yards.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how much. I'm sure they're going to implement him in right away. I would say he's going to start the game. I mean, I don't know that yet. I mean, you would think, but well, they're going to get him.
He's listed as a starter as of
okay,
now.
So he's going to start and. Will be interesting to see how they use him. You know, they'll have him out as a flanker receiver, you know, Cole Beasley in the slot. It'll be interesting to see how the Titans decide to defend Amari Cooper. I would say single coverage at first because I don't know. Again, he hasn't, played in 3 weeks. And it's the whole dynamic.
Right.
And I just don't know how much they're willing to give up him in big plays.
Right,
but I could see him breaking one. I could see him breaking
like a 30-yarder or something.
Yeah, 20-yard per catch. And if he gets three of those, that's 60 yards there. And so you sprinkle in, you know, 10, 5, 10.
Yeah.
Then that way he'd have to have at least an over on that would be, as I just said, 4 receptions. Then you're probably looking to be able to get 85.
You have to at least have
5 or 6 receptions, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. And I will say this. So, I wrote this up at blogontheboys.com if you're listening and you want to kind of look at the information yourself. So, Amari's broken these marks twice so far this season. You know, and he's only, you know, played a handful of games with the Raiders, obviously. And as you mentioned, he's been on bye forever. He broke both marks in 2 games. So, he had over 4 catches and over 50 yards in 2 separate games. And they were against the Broncos and Browns. And again, that was earlier this season while still with the Raiders. Now, Amari Cooper has played in 52 total games so far in his NFL career, obviously all with Oakland. And in those 52 career games, he's broken the over-under that they're setting here for receptions. They're saying 4 receptions, so breaking it would be 5. He has had at least 5 catches in 24 games. 24 of his 52. That's almost half. That's amazing. It's literally almost 50%. And what's even more amazing is, so 51 yards would be the break here because the over-under is 50.5. He's had at least 51 yards 25 times. So almost half of the time he's done, you know, so that's why this is a good over-under. I mean, they don't call it the desert for no reason. And so while I think I agree with you that you could certainly see Amari Cooper breaking off a 26-yard catch and then, you know, a 13-yarder and then a 22-yard or whatever and kind of quickly piling up those yards, this is kind of his wheelhouse. At least that's who he's been with the Raiders.
I think I'm really looking in this game to see what he does for the other receivers, Cole Beasley,
right,
and some of the other things he may open up because has the reputation as a vertical receiver, a number one receiver. That's going to be interesting to see what he does for that because, you know, Cole Beasley in the last game, over the course of the season, he's shown to be their number one guy. I mean, he's been the number one receiver as a slot receiver. So the whole dynamic of bringing someone like Amari Cooper in, what's he going to do the other facets of the offense for the receivers? I mean, what is that going to look like? That's going to be interesting to see how that kind of opens up also.
I agree with you, and that kind of takes me to my bold prediction. It's that time, Tony. I know we were on a bye last week, but you know, we always kind of round out with a bold prediction each for the upcoming Cowboys game. So I think this. I totally agree with you. I think that what Amari Cooper is going to do on Monday night is going to be more visible in other pieces of the box score. And so that's why Michael Gallup has 190 receiving yards on the season. I think he gets $140. I think that Michael Gallup is the biggest beneficiary of Amari Cooper on Monday night. I think that so much attention is going to be given to him. I think that's a really hard thing. If you're the Titans, I don't think anybody's really mentioned that. If you're the Titans, it's hard to prepare for the Cowboys this week because you don't know how they use Amari Cooper. I mean, that's just a whole extra, you know, folder of film to have to watch. You have to watch Amari as well as the Cowboys. I think that Michael Gallup benefits. I think he has 140 receiving yards against Tennessee.
Wow, that is an interesting perspective there. I would never thought that he would be that guy to benefit that much from going into this game. I really didn't think about that.
I think it's
especially that many yards.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a confluence because Dak Prescott is, I mean, obviously the Cowboys lost their last game, but he was kind of finding himself from a confidence perspective. He drove him down late to, bring him within 3 points. Obviously, that didn't work out, but he obviously had a great game against the Jaguars, and a lot of what he's done has been on the ground. I understand that, but Michael Gallup has really kind of been finding himself within Dak Prescott, and, you know, we mentioned chemistry and comfortability and getting to know each other and becoming friends and whatnot. I think that Michael's kind of at that point of assimilation. We're in November now, and, you know, I think that losing Tavon Austin, who's not expected to play in this game, was kind of, you know, we use this phrase a lot over the offseason, but kind of an addition by subtraction in that it forced the issue. It forced Michael Gallup to be sort of that outside receiver the Cowboys needed. Now they have Amari on the other side. So I think all of those things kind of create this perfect storm that lends well to Gallup's case.
Well, I mean, I tried to, over the course of the season, on my bold predictions, you know, I've went offensively, and this week my bold predictions are going to be on the defense side of the ball. Imagine that.
Tony Casillas puts on his uniform, goes out there for a series. Okay.
God, I wish I could go out there for one game check. You know, I have two kids going to college next year, RJ.
I saw, by the way, congratulations to your son. I accepted to the University of Oklahoma.
The University of Oklahoma. Well, thank you very much. That was one of the schools he applied to, And we'll see what happens. Well, he hasn't made any decision yet, but, I'm just trying to figure out that whole dynamic of, you know, two twins going to school at the same time. But
that would be really interesting, by the way. I'm interested to watch and see what happens.
But back to the bold predictions. You know, I've gone offensively because of the matchups, but I really like the matchups. I like the matchups, the Cowboys defense versus the Titans offense. Again, I think this could be a feeding frenzy. We're talking sharks in the, you know, smelling the blood.
Okay.
In the frenzy. I think this is going to be a game the Cowboys shut them out. It may be one of those really boring games, as you mentioned early. LSU versus Alabama, but Alabama's a lot better now. They found a quarterback. But I think it's going to be a game where the Cowboys really exploit the lack of offensive production for the Titans this year. And I'm going to predict that they – two turnovers on defense. I think Byron Jones, I think this sets up for him. And the linebackers, we mentioned right off the top of the podcast, I mean, Jalen Smith, this is probably the healthiest this team has been on the defensive side
of the
ball. Because you got Sean Lee back. Doesn't seem he's – so you got a tremendous amount of depth. I think it's going to be one of those sharks in a frenzy. And I think collectively it's going to be one of those games where we're going to be talking about a New York Giants performance when they had, what, in week two, where you looked up in the third quarter.
Six sacks, yeah.
Exactly. So as a whole overall, the bold prediction for me is not a shutout, but they're going to hold them to at least, I would say, 10 points.
So you got them two – forced turnovers, 10 points or less. So basically, if we tied a bow around your predictions, just the defense kicks ass. That's your bow.
Yeah, technically, I didn't want to get into the stats, but it's just going to be a very dominant performance by the defense.
I'll give it to you. I'm down with that. So I've got Gallup for $140. You've got the defense flexing on the Titans. And
two takeaways.
Okay, I dig it. Yep. I dig that a lot. And so let's pick this game. You know, we've been all over the place picking things this weekend, or not this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
This season for the Cowboys. I tell you what, I'm really personally looking forward to this weekend. I drive, obviously, to every home game. And driving on Sundays is such a bummer because, you know, I've got to listen to the other games going on the radio. And so this is one of those weeks where you get LSU-Bama on Saturday, and you get to watch all the games on Sunday, and then I get to drive on Monday when nothing's happening in the world. So I am personally excited. I'm so excited that I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win this game. I'm going to say 26 to, for you, I'll say 10. That way your bold prediction comes true. 26-10 Cowboys.
All right. Well, I got to piggyback on that because the Cowboys have not lost a home yet. They're playing the Tennessee Titans. And again, say it to them, the blue in the face. You got 2 weeks to prepare.
But so did they. So did they, to be fair.
So both of them. And that's a great point. But I always like the team that plays at home after the bye.
Okay.
And again, you know, as you just mentioned, yeah, you know, they got a lot of they've seen a lot of tape on the Cowboys. They've seen some of the matchups and that they can go to. But again, I'm going to go with the Cowboys, and I'm going to say I'm not just because they have Amari Cooper doesn't mean they're going to just all of a sudden have 35 points.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 20-6. Cowboys win.
Okay. You know, you're right, though. I mean, just because it is Amari. I mean, nachos are still nachos, even if they have jalapenos on them. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
But still got to get in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that in each of the last two seasons, so both in 2016 and in 2017, the Cowboys won their first three games after the bye. I think that's, again, that doesn't mean anything. It's a different team, different year, different set of people, different receivers, and everything you want to talk about. But that does suggest that Jason Garrett uses the bye week effectively, whether your old coach Jimmy Johnson thinks so or not.
We start calling him Hollywood Garrett.
Yeah, that's a good nickname for him.
Spending in Hollywood, spending out in L.A. on the bye weekend.
I mean, I'll just say this. The only game he was at, as far as we know, the Dodgers won. So, I mean, maybe the Dodgers should blame Jimmy Johnson for not letting Jason Garrett attend all the games, because then maybe they'd be the World Series champions. I don't know. I mean, I'm just stating facts, Tony. I mean, these are facts.
I just love when Jimmy Johnson stirs the pot.
That's true. That's a good point. So we both got the Cowboys. We got some good things happening for them. This is going to be really exciting. And I agree with you that I like the home team after the bye, which makes this game all the more important because after this game, the Cowboys travel to take on the Eagles, who are currently on their bye. So they will be the home team after the bye next week. So you got to have this one or else things could get a little dicey down the road.
Yeah, this is a very – not a desperate win. You know what? You know, if the Cowboys are the way they want to go, this is a game that they should – win. So yes, it's a must win.
I think that there's a negative connotation with the word desperate. I think that's fine. It's a definite,
nothing wrong with being desperate.
It's a desperate
makes
win.
You more hungry.
Exactly. Go cash in on that desperation.
Exactly.
But we'll be back next week, hopefully after a Cowboys win, hopefully on a Tuesday edition of Victory Polo Monday. See, it's still Victory Polo Monday, even if it's on a Tuesday, Tony. It's a very important detail.
Doesn't matter.
But we'll work that out then. Good show, my dude. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy LSU Bama. And we will be back next week. This was the 750.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission, or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.